message is by Pastor Mike Hammonds of Angleton First Assembly of God, located in Angleton, Texas. May the Lord bless you and speak to your heart as you listen.
Amen. Yesterday, January the 1st, let me tell you some things I didn't do. I didn't watch the New Year's parade. I just forgot. I like having the parade on, doing whatever. I just forgot. Was there one? There was one. Y'all didn't watch it either? Okay. Nothing wrong with the parade. I didn't watch a college bowl game. I'm sorry. I'm not against college football. I can enjoy it. I just never got to that. Sadly, and this is probably my biggest regret, I didn't eat any black-eyed peas and cornbread. I know. And it's not because, you know, it's not, I'm not into the good luck thing. I don't need black-eyed peas, good luck. I'll go with the grace of God and the blessings of Jesus. But I enjoy black-eyed peas. I don't care what day it is. Black-eyed peas and cornbread is a good South Texas meal. So I didn't do that. Also yesterday, I didn't break a resolution. As I told you earlier, I didn't make one. And when you don't make one, you don't break one. Again, not against them. If you made one, great. I hope you do well. I hope you succeed. It's that time of year where we embrace new beginnings, fresh starts, new commitments, desired goals, and it's all good. And I encourage it. And not just in January. They say the average person breaks their resolution by January. It's either the 17th or 21st. I think it's the 17th. What I'm saying is that right now, Gigi's Cupcakes is going to be slow on business for about 3 weeks. The gyms are going to be packed out for about 3 weeks. And then we're going to settle back into some normalcy. Listen, if you set a goal and then you fall, maybe next year. His mercies are new every morning. You can get right back up and do it again. If you blow your diet, because a lot of people want to lose 10 pounds, right? And if you blow it at lunch today, January the 2nd, pick it up again and keep going forward. Amen? So nothing wrong with setting goals. Now, the video that we just watched, at the very beginning, it asked a number of questions. Do you happen to remember the first question it asked? Are you hopeful? As we go into 2022, are you hopeful? When you think about it back a couple of years ago, 2020, we were going into 2020, and all the churches and businesses too were talking about 2020 vision. And we're going to throw that vision out there, and it's 2020 vision. It's going to be extra good because it's 2020. And y'all know what happened in 2020? COVID came around about March and stayed with us all year long, and 2020 wasn't the vision we had hoped for. And so it got near the end of 2020, and we were all like, thank God. 2020, let's get it out of here, and let's bring on 2021. And 2020 left, and 2021 came. It didn't get a whole lot better. In fact, we were not wearing just one mask. Some were wearing two and three. We were social distancing still. Some places were still closed. Lockdown, pandemic, glass partitions between people. And it went on and it went on. And now 2021 is out of here. And 2022 is here. What's coming? I don't know. Do you know? Man, after 2020 and 2021, I'm a little concerned. Well, it's got to get better. Maybe, I hope so. But what if it doesn't get better in 2022? Well, Pastor, good message. Here's the thing I want to get across, because another thing that something that I did do yesterday was kind of waffle between two messages this morning, and I landed where I'm fixing to go here. And the one thing that was in me that I felt like we just need to get a hold of this morning at church is that there is hope. And that is the key word, and we need to know that there is hope. If you're a part of the body of Christ, there is hope for you. If you belong to Him, there is hope for you. If you're feeling hopeless, the one who is hope lives inside of you, and so hope is available. And so that is the one thing I want us to leave here with, and that is no matter what happens in 2022, no matter what we're told, no matter what this nation does and what we have to go through, the church belongs to Him. And you're a part of the church, and you're going to make it if you just stay connected with Him. He is there, and He is hope, and you can have hope regardless of what comes. So what I want to talk about is not your resolution. I want to talk about God's resolution. Because, you know, we make ours, some, but God has made one as well. At least that's what I call it. It's in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, and I'm going to call the message God's resolution. Philippians 1, 6 says this, "He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ." God doesn't fail His resolution. He's still doing that. In the New Living Translation, it says it this way, "God, who began the good work within you, will continue His work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns." When you receive Jesus, and if you haven't done that, you can do that today. You can do it while I'm preaching. You just call upon Him. But when you receive Jesus, His Spirit resides in you, and a good work is begun. It doesn't solve all your problems. It doesn't necessarily make you unable to sin. It doesn't remove all the consequences of your bad decision, but a good work has begun. Salvation is the beginning of a journey. God has begun a good work in you, and now you have to grow in your salvation. This verse, Philippians 1, 6, up on the screen, it tells us that God is faithful and that He remains committed to the work that He began in you. He's not going to quit. He's going to see it through completion. You can quit on Him and He still won't quit on you. He'll still work on you. See, He's going to finish the work. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the A and the Z. He doesn't quit in the middle. You are a work in progress. You are a masterpiece in the making. You may not feel like one. You may look at yourself and be frustrated with yourself. Anybody ever been frustrated with themselves? Anybody ever look at the guy or the gal in the mirror and go, "Wow, you stink"? Man, I've told myself stuff like that, just disappointed in myself. But I am so grateful that His mercies are new every morning, and that because of His great love, I am not consumed, and that when I fall down, He wants to help me get up and not hold me down. God is for you. God is on your side, and we just need to leave here today just knowing that again and again and again, that God is working in me. He has began a good work, and this verse says He's going to complete it until the day of Jesus, and He is working on me. So whatever your expectations are this year, you can add to it. Expect that God is going to continue to work on you to make you more like Him. If Jesus is in you, there is a good work going on in you right now. It's going on right now. Now I want to pull up one more verse today. We'll tie these two together, but I want to go to Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. Jeremiah, that's a pretty lengthy book, but this is probably the most known verse in the book. Probably the other one is the one I read at the beginning of service. His mercies are new every morning. But this one, Jeremiah 29:11, says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. I know the thoughts that I think towards you." Now, some of you may have this on a placard. Maybe you got it on a bumper sticker. Maybe you've got it highlighted in your Bible, and you don't remember it saying, "For I know the thoughts." That's in the King James, and New King James, "For I know the thoughts that I think." But a lot of translations have changed that. Like the NIV says it this way, "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you future and a hope." So I know the plans I have for you. I know the thoughts I think towards you. Both good. And then if you go to the Authorized King James Version, Old English, a lot of people don't read that anymore. I read it a lot when I'm doing study. When I'm just reading, I won't read it. But when I'm doing study, the King James is most reliable. And the King James says this way, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And we're going to come back to that in just a little bit. God wants to give you an expected end. Now look at this verse up here. It's on the screen. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, or I know the plans that I have for you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, plans to prosper, to give you a future, to give you a hope. I don't want to ruin this verse for you, but we do need to kind of set this in context. This verse is not saying that everything's going to work out no matter what. Everything's going to go good no matter what. God has a plan for my life, and it's going to be good for me no matter what. And by good for me, I mean I'm going to prosper and never have a struggle and never have an issue. You know, the disciples, they all were martyred except for one. And they attempted to martyr him, but he survived it, and then he was put on the Isle of Patmos. What kind of plan is that? Listen, it's his plan. We're a part of it, but it's about him more than it's about us. So this verse is not saying that everything's going to work out. Also, this verse is not simply a blanket promise for everybody who wants to just turn to it and highlight it. Now, if God gives you a rhema word on this, fine. We believe in that. But let's look at this just a little further, the context. This verse, Jeremiah 29:11, was written to a particular group of people at a particular place, at a particular time. How many of you know that context matters? And we are very bad in America about taking verses out of context and just circle it, highlighting it, claiming it, naming it, shouting it, don't doubt it, and all that. I can do all things through Christ. And we just state extreme things based on this verse. When Paul wrote that verse, I'm on a little rabbit trail. When Paul wrote that verse, he was in prison when he wrote it. I can do all things through Christ. That was his attitude while in chains. And so here's another verse that we just lift up out of its setting. It's written to a particular group, a particular people, at a particular place, at a particular time. It's written to the Jews, the people of Israel, and it's written during a time of hardship and suffering. They are in exile, on their way to exile, to the Egyptians in Babylonia, and it's going to go on for 70 years. Some false prophets had come at the beginning and said, God is going to pull you out of this pretty soon. It's not going to last. How many of you know that when we get a word from God, we always want a good word? I mean, how many want to hear from God? How many? Not sure. I'm like, do you want to hear from God? I do, maybe depending what he says. If he says, Mike, you're awesome, and you're going to prosper and have good days and everything's going to go wonderful, then I want to hear from God. But if he says, Mike, you're going to go to prison this year for preaching the gospel, well, I don't know that I want to hear from God. We want to hear what we want to hear. And even in the Bible days, it kind of worked that way as well. You know, when prophets come in, and listen, I do believe the prophets is for encouragement and for building up. I mean, if you have a word of doom for somebody, maybe you ought to just talk to them and not announce it to everybody. But a false prophet had come and told them, God's going to pull you out of this. You will not go into exile. And those prophets were killed. Jeremiah came along and said, they're wrong. You're going to go into exile for 70 years. You're going to be in Babylon for 70 years. And so why don't you go ahead and settle in, build houses, raise your families, and pray for the prosperity of the community in which you're going to find yourself for a long time. This is what God spoke through Jeremiah, the prophet. So what does that mean, Pastor? I got to take my Jeremiah 29:11 placard off the wall? No? How does it apply to us? What principles are in there? What truths are locked in this passage that speak to us? Well, we can take comfort knowing that if you're in a hard place like Israel was, you can take comfort knowing that even though God may not give you immediate rescue, but you can know that he's still working on your behalf in the middle of your thing. in the middle of your situation. And he can still work for your good, and he can still prosper you in the middle of a bad thing that's going on in your life. In other words, if you're in a hard situation this morning, you can still have hope and a future. See, we need something to look forward to. We need hope. It's been said different ways, and I don't know who the original author is, but they said you can live 40 days without food. You can go 3 or 4 days without water. You can go 4 or 5 minutes without air, but you can't go very long without hope. You need hope. You need something to look forward to, because often in this broken world, you're going to find yourself in a hard place, and you need to be able to know that there's something out in front. You need to know that there's something better up the road. You need to know I'm not stuck here. I'm not going to be here forever. It's okay that I'm here for a little while as long as I know I'm getting out. Now, I don't like being there, but it's good to know that even though God doesn't get me out immediately, I can know that he's working on my behalf and that there is still a hope in the future for me to have. So no matter what 2022 brings, there is always hope for the church, because what was for the Jews then is for the church now. See, that verse, Jeremiah 29:11, was spoken to a group. It was spoken to a nation. And it's applicable to us as a church. God would say the same thing to the church, that I have a plan for my church. And there's a hope and a future for my church. So whatever this year brings on the bad side of things doesn't take away our hope and future. Now, if you don't know Jesus, then maybe you lose hope. But he is the blessed hope. Amen. So in the larger context, God still speaks to us today through a promise he made to the Jewish people while in exile. As believers, God's plan for us is to bring us to the new heavens and new earth that he has promised. In the meantime, we live as exiles and sojourners in this earth. This is not our home. This is not our permanent dwelling place. You can enjoy this here, but this is not the final thing. And when you think about a hope in the future, you got to think beyond where you're at. Jeremiah 29:11, not a blanket promise just to put on your wall and then claim that because it's on your wall and because you accepted Jesus, you'll never have a bad day. It's a lot more than that. It's a lot bigger than that and a lot deeper than that. So let's break this down just a little bit and apply it to us individually, because I believe there is still a principle in this verse that speaks to us. Number one, it says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. I'm going to bring up three things just real quickly. They're not even going to be on the screen for you. I know the thoughts that I think toward you. The first thing I just want to point out, God, the creator of all things, the maker of heaven and earth, the one with all power, the Almighty, thinks of you. Amen. You need to know that. God thinks of you. God doesn't look down and see people and go, who's that one? No, God thinks of you. Anybody ever send you a text or give you a call and just say, hey, I was thinking of you? It means something to you when somebody says they were thinking of you. You were occupying space in their brain. You were on their mind. And it touches you because they were thinking of you. They thought you were important. You had enough value that they took time to think about you. And that's awesome. Paul said earlier in that same chapter 1 of Philippians, he said, every time I think of you, I thank God. He was talking about the church. And I can tell you that when I'm praying for you guys, or sometimes when I'm just driving along and I think of somebody, I think of one of you, man, it brightens my day for 95% of you. All the other 5% aren't here. They're not even watching. Paul said, when I think of you, it brings me joy, and I'm thankful. And sometimes I'll be driving down the road, and I'll think of Delry. Delry serves him donuts, and he's a donut pusher. He doesn't just serve donuts. He tries to force me to eat one. Greg Breed does the same thing. And I think, man, I'm so glad that Greg's connected to Angleton First Church. And Paul said that about the church. Well, know that that's awesome that we think of each other, but know that God, above everything, thinks of you. He says, I know the thoughts that I think of you. See, you're important to God. God thinks of you the way you think about your kids. Actually, God thinks of you more than you think about your kids. And how many of you think about your kids all the time? If you're a parent, you think about your kid. Maybe not 100% of the time, but most of the time. We have forgotten our kid every now and then. How many of you have left a building, maybe this church, got down the road, maybe even got home, and had a kid still here? I want to see hands. Confessions. I want to see confessions. I see a few. Okay, I got about four in this section. Sandy? Yeah. Sandy only has one, and she left her. These two sections, y'all just perfect parents? What? Y'all? We left Addison at the baseball field one day. We went back and got her. God never forgets you. God thinks of you. You are on his mind. The second part of that verse says, thoughts of peace and not of evil. So number one, God is thinking of you. But number two, his thoughts towards you are good thoughts. They're positive thoughts. See, sometimes when you think of people, you're thinking bad, right? Well, God is thinking of you, and he went ahead and clarified it, because if I just stop there, well, God's thinking of you. Some of you go, yeah, I know he is. He hates me. He thinks of me all the time. What can he do to push me down? No, it says here that God is thinking of you, and it's thoughts of peace and not of evil. It's good thoughts. See, God's thoughts of you are positive and good. I don't know what you think about God, but I know what God thinks about you. He thinks you're awesome. So yeah, but this and but that. He knows all that. But God not only sees you, he sees the potential you. He sees the you in the making. See, there's a work going on inside of you. So God thinks of you, and his thoughts are good thoughts. And you may say, well, I don't know about that. Listen, God said this, I know my thoughts. Do you know his thoughts? They're written in his book. We need to think like God thinks, and God thinks good things about you. God wants to bless you. God wants to help you. So number one, God is thinking of you. Number two, his thoughts towards you are good thoughts. And then the third part of the verse, it says, to give you an expected end. I told you we would come back to this. He said, I want to give you an expected end. Whenever you look up the words expected end in the original language and you find out what they mean, the word end means future. That's where these other translations get the word future. Instead of giving an expected end, they kind of modernize it, and they said they give us a hope and a future. The end, the word end, is future. And so you think, well, so the word expected is hope. Actually, if you look up the word expected, it doesn't mean hope. It means cord or rope. The word expected means cord. And you think, well, why did they put hope? I want you to imagine this. Imagine you're stuck, not just anywhere, not in your car in the mud, not in the ditch, but you're in a pit. It's deep enough, you can't get out. You can't climb the walls because they're slick. There's no way out. You are stuck in this pit. There's no hope. And while you're there and you're saying your final prayers and you're getting ready to go meet Jesus, all of a sudden, this falls into the pit that you're in. You know what this rope just became? Hope. This is your way out. This is your way out. God wants to give you a hope and a future. No matter where you are, how stuck you are, how bad it may be, God wants to throw you a lifeline. God wants to give you a cord of hope. See, this rope, if I'm in that pit, this rope is my link from where I'm at to where I need to be. I'm down here. I'm stuck. I'm in a bad place. I'm doomed. But even though I'm in a bad place, I still have hope because I see it. And there's a way out. And this is the link between where I'm at and where I want to be. The rope becomes your hope and your future. It's the way out of the pit. So where are you at? We've ended 2021. We're barely into the new year. Maybe you had a great start and you're doing good. Maybe you had a poor start. Maybe it's same old, same old. It's the same stuff as last year, just starting now. I want you to know God's not leaving you there. I want you to know that God has good thoughts of you, and he wants to give you a hope and a future. God wants to move you forward. It may not be as fast as you'd like it to be, but you can know that in the middle of your hard place, God is still working on you, and he's still doing something in you. There's a good work inside of you that is going on. See, you may feel like you're at a dead end, but God says there's an expected end for you. And this is the difference right here. It's the hope. So I told you when we started this, when you leave here today, the thing I want you to leave here most with is a hope. Not just the hope of heaven. That is the ultimate hope. And we are exiles right here. We are in this captivity right here. But we have a future, right? And we're going to get there. And can I tell you, if you don't know Jesus, he is your link from where you are, which is lost and undone, to where you need to be, and that is saved by his grace. Jesus is your rope of hope. See, we all sin. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. It's not about good people make it and bad people don't. No, bad people need Jesus. Good people need Jesus. You can't be so good that you don't need him. And you can't be so bad that he won't take you. Jesus is the link between here and there. He said, no man comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is committed to finishing you what he started. Before we take communion, I want to read a letter to you. This letter came from an inmate in prison. One of our workers was able to get a copy and get it to me, and so this is verbatim. And this inmate, he's in bondage, he's in captivity, he's in prison, he's incarcerated, but he's free in Jesus. You know, you can be behind bars and be free, and you can be running around loose and be in bondage. So this young man is free, but incarcerated, and this is his prayer. Maybe you want to adopt it and make it yours this morning. Father, I just want to thank you for having patience with me and for promising to complete this great and awesome work that you have begun in me. Father, I am sorry for living a life of disobedience. Forgive me for not being all that you've empowered me to be. Thank you, Father, for providing a way back to you through your Son, Jesus. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for new beginnings. Today, I dedicate all that I am, all that I ever will be, to your service. I love you, Father. I love you, Jesus. To you be all honor, glory, and praise. Amen. I want to see how many of you could just agree with me as we go through this prayer. I read it a couple of times and already have made it my own before I ever came to church. Let's just see how many can identify. Father, I want to thank you for having patience with me. Thank you, Jesus. And for promising to complete this great and awesome work that you've begun in me. That's Philippians 1:6, what we've been talking about. How many are thankful for that he's working in you? I'm sorry for living a life of disobedience, me. Forgive me for not being all that you've empowered me to be. Thank you. Thank you for providing a way back to your Son, Jesus. Thank you for his new mercies every day. Amen. Thank you for forgiving me. Yes, thank you. Thank you for new beginnings. Listen, it's January the 2nd. It's the beginning of the year, but new beginnings with God can happen anytime. And today, maybe you need that. Maybe you need a new beginning. I'm not talking about resolutions. I'm talking about something in your life that you just need a fresh start somewhere in your life. You can thank God for new beginnings. Now, he says this at the end. How many of you would agree with me here? Today, I dedicate all that I am, all that I ever will be, to your service. Does anybody want to dedicate fresh again your life to the Lord Jesus? I do. I do. Why don't you bow your heads with me? In just a moment, we're going to receive the Lord's table. We're going to receive it together. You're going to come up and get the elements and go back to your chair and hold on to them. And we're going to pray together and we'll receive them together. But before we come to this table, I want you to know that this is open to everybody. Doesn't matter if you're a member of this church or just visiting and you're out of state and you go to another church. You are welcome to receive communion here today. There's only one requirement, and that is you know Him. You know Jesus. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here today and you need a new beginning, a fresh start in your life, and today you need salvation, and today you want to receive Jesus as Lord of your life. With heads bowed and eyes closed, would you raise your hand? I want to pray for you guys first. If there's anybody in here, I want to pray for you first, and then we'll take the table. All right, anybody else? Good. Anybody else? Good. All right. That's two. Anybody else? All right, church, we're going to pray this prayer with these. All right? Would you repeat after me? For those that raised your hand, this is for you. You need to say this with us, but we're going to say it with you. The Bible says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What's going on in your heart, it's already happened, but we're going to declare it. We're going to speak it right now. So would everybody just repeat after me? Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I give my life. Broken, messed up, falling short, but I give it to you anyway. Take me as I am and make me what you'd have me to be. I believe in Jesus, that He died for my sins, that He rose again, and that He lives today, and one day He'll return. Until then, may my life glorify you as I live for you and for those around me. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to share something with you before you receive the elements. In the book of Job, and how many of you know that Job went through much hardship and suffering? You know his story, most of you do. In chapter 6, verse 8, his friends had just finished counseling him and telling him all that he had done wrong and what he needed to do in order to get God's favor, because they said that what was going on in his life was because he displeased the Lord. And there's a whole long story in that, but Job in chapter 6 finally speaks up. And in verse 8 he says this: "Oh, that I might have my request, and that God would grant me the thing that I long for." He's asking God to give to him the thing that he longs for. God didn't do it. God did not give him the thing that he was longing for. Because again, when you go read that in context, you know what he was longing for? Death. The very next verse, that he would grant me the thing that I long for, that he would crush me and cut off my life. You don't have to raise your hand, but some of you, you've been in a hard enough place to where you have longed for that kind of relief. God, just get me out. Just take my life. God did not give him the thing that he longed for. You know what God gave him? New life. Aren't you glad that sometimes God doesn't give you what you pray for? Because sometimes we don't know what to pray, especially when we're in a difficult situation. Now, here's an interesting thing about that verse, that God would give me the thing that I long for. When you go to the original language and you look at that phrase, the thing that I long for, it's the same two words that are used in Jeremiah for the words expected end. He's asking the Lord, I'm praying for an expected end, but he was expecting a bad end. And God overlooked that prayer. Now, God will give you what you long for if it's in line with His Word, but this wasn't in line with God's Word, and God did not give him the death that he was longing for. God pulled him out. God gave him his expected end, not Job's expected end, what he wanted. God gave Job what God was longing for. God threw Job a lifeline. Now, I don't want to go through what Job went through to get what Job got. But I'm thankful that whenever we're in a hard place, it doesn't have to be done. It doesn't have to be over. There's a hope and a future for God's church. There's a hope and a future for God's child. We're going to take these elements, but I want to give you a question. What are you longing for right now? What are you longing for? What would you like to see happen for you in 2022? Now, if you're in a place like Job and you're longing to be crushed, God probably won't give you that. But what good thing that would be in permission of God's word? What good thing are you longing for? What expected end do you want? Now, I'm not saying we're going to pray a simple prayer and it's all going to be done. When you go to Jeremiah 29:11 and you read verses 12 and 13, you find out that the church had a part to play. They had to seek God. And God said, when you search me with all of your heart, then it will come to pass. We have a part to play. I said it at the beginning. We have to cooperate with the Spirit of God at work in us. Amen? So whatever it is that you're longing for, you're in this place, but you want to get to this place. And there is a leak. There is something that's going to move you from here to there. When I say something, yes, it's God, but maybe there's a connection that God wants to put in your life that's going to get you from A to B. Maybe it's just a book that's going to give you insight that you need. It's revelation knowledge, and it might come through a Wednesday night class or a Thursday morning Bible study or just reading your Bible in your quiet time. Just begin to cooperate with Him, and God will send you the link you need to get you from where you are another step forward. Would you take the bread? Jesus told His disciples to do this in remembrance of me, the Lord's Supper. With one hand, you can break this little wafer. Snap it in half. No bones were broken in the body of Jesus, but the Bible says that He was broken. As a man, He was broken. This wafer represents the body of the Lord Jesus. He took stripes upon His body that we could pray for healing and have wholeness. But not just our body. Think bigger. Think of together. The church body. I want us to pray for the church body right now. Father God, in Jesus' name, I lift up your body, the body of Christ. This church, other churches, the church worldwide. God, I thank you that for your church, there is a hope and a future. There is an expected end. No matter what comes at us this year, next year, the year after, no matter what happens at the gas pumps, no matter what happens on Wall Street, you are God, and the body of Christ has a hope and a future, and we are part of that body, and we receive this bread in remembrance of you with gratitude, thanksgiving in our heart. In Jesus' name, would you partake with me? The cup represents the blood of Jesus. It's because Jesus spilled His blood that His mercies are new every morning. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. In the Old Testament, it was the blood of animals, goats and bull and dove. And then Jesus became the spotless lamb and laid down His life, and that old way of doing things was finished. And aren't you glad? And now, the blood He spilled covers our sin. We call upon Him, He forgives us. Aren't you glad? Let's pray over the cup. Father, we thank you for this cup and all that it represents. Lord, without the shedding of the blood of Jesus, we would not have a prayer, we would not have a hope. We would be done. But because Jesus shed His blood, there is a hope and a future for your church, for your child. God, I pray today that all of us leave this building with hope the ultimate hope of heaven, yes, but also hope for that situation, hope for that issue, hope for that dilemma, that trying thing that some are in. Father, I thank you that there is something in front of us. There is a future. May we move towards it. Pray it in Jesus' name. The church says amen and amen. Let's take the cup together. Philippians 1:6 again says, He will work in you until the completion is when Jesus returns. What that means is, you'll never be enough until He comes. But that doesn't mean you stay where you are. You're not enough today, but we move forward. We're still not enough, but we're farther along than we were last week. Thank God for His grace and His mercy. I don't know how you're going to do in your resolutions for those who made them, but I can tell you this. God's going to keep His resolution. He's going to keep working on you. That good work that began, He's going to bring it to completion. Would you do this? Just reach over and just put a hand on the shoulders and just some connection. I'm going to pray, but you can also pray for those that are around you. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for everyone that you have sent here today. I thank you for those that call this place home. I thank you for those that will show up this year and make this place home. God, I thank you in advance for the good things that you will do this year. God, may we as a church body cooperate with your spirit and let you do what you need to do and want to do. May we as individuals do the same. God, I pray for every person that's in a difficult place, that hope come alive in them, that no matter how long they have to be in that place, they be there with hope. They be there with a new beginning inside of them. Maybe they're not free yet. Maybe they're not out yet, but they know that it's coming. There's a hope and a future for them. And God, I pray that it would be soon. And God, whatever that rope, that link, that cord to get us from A to B, if it's a phone call, if it's a book, if it's a conference, if it's a conversation, whatever it might be, God, may we cooperate with you and do our part. You're faithful. But God, we can't expect you just to do it without us looking towards you. So God, we look to you. We look to you from where our help comes from. And we pray for that help. We pray for that hope, and we pray it in Jesus' name. The church says amen and amen. Give him a good hand clap.
Thank you for listening today. For additional information or to call in a prayer need, you can reach Angleton First at 979-849-6112 or check us out on the web at angletonfirst.org. God's blessings upon you, and may His peace be yours today.